Okay. Let us come to the Lord. Dear Father, in this closing session for this series, we pray that we will not miss any of what you have for us. For there's an enemy that would like to steal, to kill, to destroy. And we pray that all that the Holy Spirit has planned for this evening, for this meeting, will be fully available to us. And we will both enjoy, and if there are areas where we have to undergo surgery, help us to be willing to say, your will be done. Areas where you want to encourage us to go further, that we will not be afraid but be bold. Areas where we have to admit that we have failed, help us to be truthful in repentance. And above all, Lord, areas where we have to see afresh the victory we have already in Jesus Christ, the enemy already stripped of its authority over us, and conquests that are there for us in Christ to be reached out for and made ours. Oh God, help us to follow our heavenly Joshua into the ranks of the hierarchy of heaven, of Satan in the heavenlies, and score victories tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking primarily, not exclusively, at the Son of Man, not forgetting that he is also the Son of God, that he is the I Am. He never stopped being the I Am. It's only how much of his I Am-hood he used while he was down here for 34 years. That's the only area, actually, which is sometimes a problem to us to discern properly. May I illustrate with something that happened on the north side of Michigan State University. A student from India with the name and address of his professor-to-be followed the directions and stopped in front of a house that had the number of the house on that street that he was looking for. And he found that somebody was outside in ordinary old clothes with a paint pail and a brush and was painting the siding of the house. So he said, good morning, sir.
Good morning
to you. I'm looking for Dr. Brown. Yes. What would you like to tell him? Sir, I want to talk to Dr. Brown. He said, that's right, I heard you. What do you want to tell him? Sir, you don't understand. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Dr. Brown. He said, I heard you. You have been talking to Dr. Brown. No, you are the painter. Will you please tell me, is Dr. Brown in the house? He said, young man, I told you I am Dr. Brown. No. And then it dawned to Dr. Brown that he was talking to someone from India. Are you still with me? Maybe some of you are not. That student from India could never imagine that Dr. Brown, a department head, would be in those clothes, old clothes, painting the siding of the house. Not in India. You know the caste system, right? The PhDs would never dream of doing anything like that. So when the professor realized what was happening, he said, I think I know what our problem is. He said, you're not in India right now, are you? No, sir. Well, here in America, I, Dr. Brown, can also, if I want to, put these clothes on and paint the outside of my house. But I see now, if I were in India, most probably I wouldn't be doing that, because there a PhD would, he stays in the peer group of the PhDs. And so the Lord Jesus pulled up this shorty and said, Shorty, do you see what I'm trying to say to you? I said, Lord, will you please explain? Because I guess I'm just about as dull as that limited student from India as to what is going on. He said, look, I am the I am. I never stopped being that. But for a while, I'm down here. I put on this human body, yes, Lord, and I'm going about, for those that can see or meet me or hear me, as the Son of Man, as the carpenter from Nazareth. Shorty, while Dr. Brown was painting the siding of his house, was he doing the work of Professor Brown? I said, no, Lord, no, he was. Well, that's it. While I'm down here, I'm not doing what I was doing up there. I'm not running the whole universe right now. I'm not operating as the Almighty. I'm not glowing with the glory of God. No, no, no. I took off those clothes. Philippians 2, verse 5 and on. I was at every point, God. I was in the form of God. But because it was decided before creation, and when the right time came, the one that has been acting as my father and I as his son said, time to go down. When the fullness of time came, I was born of the Virgin, a human being. I'm still the I am. But I peeled off all that. I emptied the Greek word, afton ekenosi. He emptied himself by putting on, by taking on the form of a bond slave. It wasn't a let us say I am. It is I became one. The word that created the galaxies became flesh and dwelt among us. So I am in these clothes with a paintbrush painting the side of my house. Now, Shorty, while Dr. Brown was painting the side of his house, was he doing the work of Dr. Brown at the university? Was the university paying him to paint his house? No, no. The university was paying him to run that department, was not paying him to paint his house. He chose to do that. He chose to put those clothes in. So, but he didn't stop being Dr. Brown. But while he was painting the house, he was not doing the work of Dr. Brown, was he? He was not in a class with 65 students talking about microbiology. Right? temporarily, he's just painting his house. Temporarily, Shorty, for 34 years, I'm here for this special part in the arrangement from way back when the Council of God planned this. Now, are you getting it, Shorty? I said, Lord, I guess I'm not as quick as I should be, but I'm beginning to. Now, can we illustrate what we are talking about in reality? We saw him already at the age of 30, having filled himself for over 20 years with the scriptures daily, so that the scriptures are now in Christ Jesus. He is not only the messenger, he's also the message. He's not only the Word of God, he is full of the Word of God. He worked at it. He stored the scriptures in his heart and mind. We cannot say he knew the scriptures because he was God. Oh, no, no. He daily studied, memorized, made the scriptures part of himself. And that's a challenge to you and me. How much are we really storing in our hearts, in our minds, the scriptures? Are we doing well?
No.
No. Honest man. You see, he modeled for us what to do, how to do, so we can continue what he started. Apart from the crucifixion, where he paid once for all, for all of us, the rest of his lifestyle, friends, is also for you and me. Your word have I kept in my heart so that I might not sin against you, right? If I don't store it in my heart and keep it there, when the enemy knocks at my door, what I'm likely to do? Sin against God. I don't have the resistance. I don't have the shield. I don't have the helmet. I don't have the fullness of the strength of the Word of God because I didn't store it there. So I cannot be safe when I'm attacked. And not only that, there's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When the enemy comes, I don't have it to jab him and bleed him. So he'll leave me alone. So, he was utterly dependent upon his Heavenly Father. He is utterly dependent upon the Word of God. He's utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit that filled him at his baptism. And he never grieved the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he maintained the fullness of the Holy Spirit right through his ministry. And he went to the cross. Through the power, he offered himself through the eternal Spirit. And so, in between time now, let's see how he operates. If you go to Mark chapter 3 and begin to read from verse 13, shall we say? Mark 3. Beginning at verse 13, do you have it? Could you read it for us, please?
And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Huh. So he had more than 12, right? But he did what from amongst them? He appointed, he made a bunch of 12, right?
He appointed 12.
He appointed 12. Do you know what the Greek word is there, he appointed? I like it. Epeisen, from which word you have pima, a poet, a poem. He made a bouquet composed of 12. Now, you have to be Japanese to appreciate what I'm going to say. You know, the Japanese culture communicates a message by the way the flowers are arranged. Anyone here has discovered that? The way the Japanese will arrange the flowers on the table there in the house has a message. And Jesus Christ picked different colors, different kinds of flower, and put them together and made a bouquet. No two of them were alike. Peter was not like James, and James was not like Nathanael, and Nathanael was not like the tax collector Matthew, right? Very distinct temperaments, characters, and so on, and he made a bouquet of 12. And what did he plan to do with them? He made a bouquet of 12 to do what? What's the first thing?
So that they might be with him.
Uh-huh. Are you getting it? So that they will spend 4 years with him. At the end of the first 4 years, what will they be looking like? He wanted them day and night as much as possible to be with him for 4 years, so they will see what kind of a man he is, how he thinks, how he operates. And he said to them, register in my class. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I've got about 6 PhDs. Is that what he said? I've taught for 25 years at such and such universities. Learn of me because, Matthew, where is that passage? Come unto me and then learn of me. What's the reference? Come on, come on. You know that passage in Matthew. Who will give us what the passage is? 11:28, good. Come to me, I will cause you to rest. Take my yoke upon you, that's equal to register in my class and learn from me, because what? Because I am meek and lowly in heart, and as you finish and graduate, you will be like me, meek and lowly in heart. The student ultimately, sooner or later, begins to be like the teacher. And Jesus said, it's great for a student to become like his teacher. Now, so that they could be with him, and then when they were ready, send them, what does it say?
Out to preach.
Only to preach.
And to have authority to cast out demons.
Oh, no. That's asking for trouble. Was he doing it himself? Was Jesus casting out demons? Oh, okay. He's teaching them to do the same. Was he healing the sick?
Yes.
They learn how to do it. Was he raising the dead?
Yes.
They learn how to do it. So he is going to multiply himself by 12. One time 12 is 12. So there'll be 12 doing it. Was that a good plan?
Of course.
4 years seminary with Jesus as the professor. Now, Before we go any further, we'll spend a bit more time. How did he know whom to pick from among 70 or so students that he had? How did he go about picking them? I think Peter, the fisherman, has more curly hair. I'll pick him. You wouldn't qualify, would you?
No.
Are you catching on? What did he go by so that he picked 12 of them? Do we know? Does the Bible tell us?
Before he did so, he went up on the mountain and prayed.
Where is that?
Well, verse 13, it says up in the mountain.
Yeah, but it say he prayed?
In the other Gospels, oh. I recall, beforehand,
oh.
He had...
Anybody knows? Do you know where it is? Somebody help him? Somebody help him? Huh? He says Luke chapter 6, verse 12. So we have help for you.
In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles.
Did he operate as the Almighty? Did he operate as the I Am, who knows everything and everyone through and through? Or did he operate as the carpenter that turned out to be an itinerant preacher?
He went up on the mountain to pray.
Why did he have to spend the whole night in prayer? If you already knew everything. If you knew what was fully in everyone. Huh?
He had to go to the Father.
All night. Now mark that. All, not only a couple of hours, friends. So it took him a whole night before he knew which 12 from among so many to pick the next morning. Is he operating as God? Or is it more this way? Father, what do you want me to do tomorrow? Son, I want you to pick 12 out of the big number you have and spend extra time with them so that they can be with you. Many of them will not be every day with you, but these will be always with you. And you will prepare them fully so that when you finish your assignment, you will leave behind 12 properly prepared ones to carry on the work. All right, Daddy. Who do you want me to pick? I tell you what, son. Pick Simon, the son of Jonah. Simon? The one who one minute is up, the next minute is down? Yeah, but I led you to call him stone, didn't I? Yes, Father. He will become solid. Oh, but you have to work at it patiently. He will be a hot potato at times. And I tell you what, at the end of all the 4 years, in spite of your warning, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I prayed for you personally that your faith will not fail. Oh, don't worry about me, Lord. Simon, listen. Later on, you know, in the garden, if you do not stay awake and pray, you will deny that you ever knew me. I wouldn't dream of... Stay awake and then pray, Simon. Okay. Did he stay awake and pray?
Oh, no.
Jesus knew ahead of time. But be patient with him, because after he even denies you three times before the cock has a chance to crow the first time, the scenery will change a bit and others will begin to say, one of them says, I was in the garden. I saw you draw your knife and cut the ear of Malchus. Oh, no, mistaken. He will deny three times more. You will deny three times more. Rather, the father said, he will six times before the second cock crow, three times before 3 o'clock in the morning, three more times before 4:30 in the morning. And you want me to pick him as one of the apostles, Father? Yeah. When he repents and comes back, he will strengthen others. And you have to pray that his faith will not fail in the testing. That's quite an assignment, Father. Yeah. Will you take it? Okay, I'll take Peter. Are you with me? He spent the whole night in prayer. Take Matthew, the tax collector. Well, he's following me, but you know, Father, he's used to money. That's all right. But don't make him your treasurer. Huh? Oh, no. I've got somebody else for that. Who, Lord? Who, Father? Judas Iscariot. He seems to be a little bit of a cloud. Yeah, yeah. He's an undercover agent of Satan. But the word is, Mom, don't tell anyone. Don't behave in such a way that they will begin to suspect him. You will treat him royal fashion. You will make him the treasurer, although he will be stealing from the bag. And I have to keep him during the whole period, Father? Yes, right through to the end. Right through, he will even betray you. Huh. In spite of that, even at the tail end, at the garden, you will treat him as your friend. You will sorrowfully say, friend, are you betraying the Son of Man? With a kiss, loudly, so everybody can hear, as if you are my bosom friend. Accept it. Are you with me, son? Take Judas Iscariot, the undercover agent of Satan, and treat him royal fashion. Make no difference between him and the rest. And don't let any of the 11 suspect that he is not for real followers, real believers. He will go along with the others. He will perform miracles. He will raise the dead. He will cleanse the lepers. Let him be at every point one of the 12. Oh, and take Jamie, Johnny, you know, Zebedee's kids. Yeah. You mean the very strong in their opinion? Yeah, and you'll call them sons of thunder. There will be the day when, because the Samaritans will not give you a motel room, they'll say, shall we pray like Elijah fire from heaven and burn them to frizzle? Oh, yeah, you have to live and put up with them and teach them that you are not Elijah and they are not following Elijah. Okay. Now, are you catching on? A whole night in prayer. Went through step by step until finally, if I keep on going, that's all we'll do tonight, so I better move. Finally, the father says, that's all. Now you've got the 12? Yeah. And the next thing you know, it's morning. The night is over. So no wonder in the morning, he goes up the mountain, invites them, and then he very quickly, you and you and you. It was easy in the morning, but he spent the whole night in prayer. Did he operate as the I am? Or did he operate as the Son of Man? Checked everything with the Father. Not only that, for the remaining of his ministry, day and night, he would be checking with the Father as to how to deal with each one of them. Two young men during supper were talking with me at the table just before, a few minutes before we came down. And they were saying, you know, with these kids today, it's such a job to keep them quiet and finish your lesson, because you, the rest of you have no problems, only these two young men, you know. Is Jesus able to deal with kids today in the culture we are, in the satanic forces that are invading youngsters, teenagers, and the rest? Is Jesus able?
Yes.
More than able.
So Jesus went through training people, and very patiently prepared them. So I won't go into what I told the two young men, but Jesus Christ, friends, is the number one expert as to leading people into salvation and then training them to be what? Warriors that will defeat satanic forces. He can do it today as he did then. How did he train them? I was talking to a graduate from the Denver Seminary a few years ago, and I said, now that you have graduated, what are you doing? He says, I'm teaching at the seminary. I said, great. By the way, I said, were you trained by your professors like Jesus prepared his seminary students? He just looked at me. He said, maybe not. I said, are you going to now train those that you are teaching like Jesus trained the 12? He says, what do you mean? I said, how much time did Jesus spend with them inside four walls in a classroom? He said, not very much. Where did he hold his training lessons? As they walked, and somebody said, help, my daughter is being tormented by a demon. Or as a man came and said, sir, please, I'm the rabbi, but my daughter is just about dying right now. Come quickly. And on the way there, somebody pushed through and touched the garment. And Jesus turns and says, somebody touched me. And Peter says, oh, everybody is pulling the push. No, Pete, you don't understand. Somebody touched me and sucked away power from me. Who touched me? And finally, you know, the woman that was hemorrhaging for 12 years says, I did. Am I going to be punished? No. Cheer up. Your faith has made you well. How did he train the 12? Was it OJT or not?
Yes.
The number one OJT teacher is Jesus Christ. You go with me day by day and you see what happens in the marketplace, what happens in the synagogue, what happens in the house of Jairus, what happens when the Pharisees plot for hours a question that if I say yes, it will be a trouble. If I say no, I'll be in trouble. He trained them in the very battlefield against Satan. True? So I said to this graduate, is that how Denver Seminary is doing today? He said, Mr. Talk, no. I said, would you like to try it? Ooh, now that's getting hot. But you see what I'm trying to say? We are not doing what Jesus did. And yet, we are supposed to. He prepared them to continue. You remember we looked at verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, right? Acts 1:1, the former treatise of Theophilus that I sent to you, 24 chapters, we would say today, he didn't divide them, in a nutshell were what?
The beginning.
What Jesus began to do and teach. Mark that. He did in the before the eyes of his 12 seminary students and taught. as he did, he was also acting the teaching. And then he said, now do you understand? You saw it in action. But he only began. And the 12 were to what? Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the other parts of the world, what? In the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit, go and continue it. Their part is to continue what Jesus began. And that was the training he gave them. Are we prepared for a training by Jesus Christ in these days? Are you, brother? Would you like to be trained by Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Oh, but you have a wife and children.
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Was Peter a married man or not?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so there's room for you. Huh?
Amen.
You can't excuse yourself, can you? There was at least one we know who was married, because how? His mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus came into the room, and Pete said, my mother-in-law is sick. He said, that's all right. Come on, lady. And the fever left from 104 degrees down to 98 right away, right? So he was a married man. Can Jesus really use single people, married people, married people with children? Can he use a grandpa and a grandma? Any grandmas and grandpas here? Well, you're young, aren't you? There are some? Can he use grandmas and grandpas? Oh, they don't need any training. They're already grandpa. Huh? Are you still with me? Jesus is the greatest teacher who can train you and me so that we continue what he started. Friends, for years I was taught Jesus performed those miracles, taught those wonderful things because he was acting as God. And Jesus had to shake me up and say, Shorty, read the Bible carefully. I did them as the Son of Man. I spent the whole night in prayer before I chose the disciples. I spent time in prayer before I went back to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. I did it as the Father wanted. I spent time with him before I met with the people who came with tricky questions. And now that I have you a few years out back in Aden, Arabia, you will be meeting the same kind of treatment. And friends, there in a country, the motherland of Islam, where we used to have free English lessons for 1 hour, and then those that wanted could stay for 1 hour of Bible study. They didn't have to if they didn't want to. And here one evening, one of them, we had a few Alis, this is one of them, in the middle of the lesson says, Deceiver, that was our official name, by the way, I was Magawi, my wife, Magawiya, feminine ending. Says, Magawi, Deceiver, every time I stay over for the lesson from the book, you teach about the prophet Jesus. When are you going to teach about the prophet Muhammad also? How would you like that as a question? I thought, quick SOS, help. If I had said one bad thing about the prophet Muhammad, kitty corner across the street was the mosque and the Malam there. The whole mission would be in trouble. See, we are not in America where you can speak freely, right, about Muhammad. Even here now they're beginning to say, be careful. Help. The next thing I know, I said, Ali, if you want to buy a loaf of bread, do you go to the store that sells shirts? He said, Magawi, I'm not dumbbell, I'm not crazy. I go to the baker. I said, I thought so, God gave you brains. He says, yes, good. And if you want to buy a shirt, you go to the baker. He said, I told you I've got brains. I said, I heard you the second time. Now, Ali, when you come here after the English lessons, like the baker, I have fresh loaf of bread, and I'm ready to slice it and give you a slice each time you stay behind for the second hour. Now, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You eat me, you live. That's what I am offering. You get to know Jesus, you have life eternal. Now, anyone that wants to know more about the Prophet Muhammad, right across the street is the Malam. He knows all about it. Why don't you go there? He'll tell you. He went like this, Allah, Allah, oh God. In other words, he escaped. I'm sure the Malam said, ask him this question. And if he says one bad thing about our Prophet, let me know. Are you with me? That's what they were doing to Jesus, trying to catch him as he answered questions. Now, if I had not been in the scriptures and if I had not sent an SOS, I would have been trapped because I knew a few things about Muhammad. But the answer was not give him some things about Muhammad. Send them to where the Malam can tell them. And that was, he said, Allah. I'm sure he went to the Malam that evening and said, he didn't walk into the trap. My wisdom? No. Just like Jesus, I quickly said, help, Father. Friends, unless we discover how Jesus operated, we are losers. He was in the front line of the battlefield day after day and night after night. That's why he had to spend also time in prayer, because the enemy was after him all the time. And he is after us. But cheer up. We are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loves us. The victory is on our side. Now, I see that my time went faster than I thought. And in one sense, I'm sorry. But I hope that with those few illustrations, we really are able to put our arms around the feet of Jesus and say, thank you for coming down to earth and modeling in that wonderful way. I want to follow you. I want to be equipped by you. I want to be trained by you. And I want to go where you send me in the same way that you sent the 12. Are we willing to do that? Friends, you are here for a few days, but actually pretty soon you'll be going back, right? Do you look at where you go back as your mission field? Do you look at it also as the battlefield for you? And are you willing to be day by day and sometimes night by night close to Jesus so he can also help you do as he did? If we do that, each one of us, or as couples or as families, we will be continuing what Jesus began to do and teach. And in one sense, we'll be all seminarians at Jesus' feet. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
And then that way, not only he will be sending the 12 2,000 years ago, but each one of us to wherever our mission field is, and help us to finish our assignment in victory. So that when we meet him one day, instead of saying, where can I hide my face? We'll say, thank you, Lord. And he'll say, welcome, well done, because you did as I taught you. You were willing to let me make you meek and lowly in heart and continually dependent upon the Heavenly Father, upon the Holy Spirit. out of love to do the will of God. Amen? And the needy world will have many, many sent ones, just like 2,000 years ago he sent the 12, full of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and thrust them forth into a world that was enemy of God, and out of the very hands of Satan, Acts 26:18, they were sent to open the eyes of the blind so that they could be led from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan unto God, so that they could have forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are set apart or sanctified by faith that is in Jesus Christ. Oh God, please be pleased to make each dear one here tonight one more sent once, trained, prepared by Jesus Christ, and in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit into a world that needs so many more workers. The harvest field is ready. The laborers are few. Make each dear one here tonight a laborer that is trained, prepared, and equipped and filled by the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.